Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. There was an article in the paper 2 years ago, and the title kind of caught my attention. It said, "Woman Stays on Toilet for 2 years." It seems that a woman in Ness City, Kansas, stayed on her boyfriend's toilet for 2 years. Apparently, by the time her boyfriend finally called the police, she was physically stuck to the toilet. The sheriff who reported on it said that it wasn't that she was taped to the toilet or tied or glued to the toilet. It's that her body had become physically attached to the toilet. Her skin had started to grow around the seat. Ew, come on, you can react. And what had happened is she went in there and would not come out. And every day her boyfriend dutifully brought her some food and water and asked her to please come out. And every day she responded, "Maybe tomorrow," for 2 years. And so finally her boyfriend decided that enough was enough. After 2 years, and he called the police, and they arrived, and they reported that she was on the toilet, her sweatpants down to mid-thigh, that she was somewhat disoriented, that her legs had atrophied, and they finally got her off the toilet and got her out of there. Amazingly, a neighbor who heard about the situation said, "It really doesn't surprise me." What kind of neighborhood do these people live in? Seriously? I read that story, and I was like, this can't be real. And so I read it again. And all these questions, you know, how? Why? Why didn't she just get off the toilet? Why didn't she call for it? Why didn't she do something? But then I started to think about times in my life when I felt stuck. And looking back now from my vantage point, I can see how, you know, I knew the steps to take to get out of that situation. It seemed like every day I just said, "Maybe tomorrow." And looking back, I can't believe how long I stayed in some situations I stayed in. But I just felt, stuck. So have you ever been stuck? Really stuck? All right, let's just be honest. Want to? You're stuck right now. Right? I mean, don't talk about before. You're stuck right now, right? We all are. In some area of our life that we could point to, we can say, in that area, I am stuck. Maybe like the guy in the video, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you've been married, and maybe it's just like constant fighting. Or perhaps it's not that bad. Maybe for you, it's just that you're not growing in love. It is like the passion is kind of drained out of your marriage, and it just feels like you're roommates. Or it could be for you, your finances. You know, maybe you've gotten yourself piled under a mountain of debt, and it does not seem like you could ever climb out of it. And there's just every month, man, there's more bills than there is pay, and you just feel stuck. Maybe it's some other relationship. Yeah, maybe it's a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you know you need to get out of that relationship, and you can't figure out how, and you can't. Or maybe it's you and your parents, and there is this like dysfunctional way you've related to each other since childhood, and you're still doing the same thing, and you're just stuck. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe for you it's your job. You go to this job every day and you hate it. You hate it, but it doesn't seem like there's any other options, and you're not really trying to find one anyway, and you just feel stuck. For you, it might be physically. Maybe you're overweight. Maybe you have high cholesterol, and you want to lose the weight. You want to change, but you just can't seem to do what you need to do, and stuck. Or it might be that you're stuck spiritually. Like, maybe you've been coming here for a little while, and maybe you get it. I mean, just honestly, you get it. And you know that it's time for you to take, like a first step. You know, maybe to start a relationship with God. But there's something, and you don't know what it is, but there's something not allowing you to take that step. Or maybe you have a relationship with God, and you've been kind of following him. You've been a Christian for a while, but you're not growing. And the reality is that you want so much more of God. You know there's so much more with him, but you can't seem to find it, and you're just stuck. Stuck. Well, what we're going to do in this series is we're going to talk about how to get unstuck. And so this is a really big deal, right? Because no one should have to live a crappy life. And so we're going to look at four principles that will kind of build on each other each week on how to get unstuck. The other thing we're going to do in this series is every week we're going to look at a person in the Bible who was stuck and got unstuck, and just try to look at their example and say, is there anything from their example that I can apply to my life? Maybe there's some principle that I can see that would work for me. And so today we're going to look at this guy named Peter. Peter was a guy who was stuck. I mean, stuck. Like, for instance, he was stuck in the same old, same old. His job was that he was a fisherman. And so every day he got up early and he went fishing. And the next day he got up early and he went fishing. And the next day was just like the day before, and the day after that was just like the day before that. And he was just stuck. And he had to wonder, is this seriously all there is to life? Like this is it? I mean, there has to be more, doesn't there? Until this one day, when Jesus came along, and Peter's out fishing just like the day before, and Jesus invites Peter to follow him, to become one of his disciples, kind of like an apprentice. He's kind of like, I'll mentor you. And so Peter decides to quit fishing. He just leaves his fishing and he goes and he follows Jesus. And that allows us to see a lot of pictures of Peter's life, because the Bible describes a lot of the stories from Jesus' life, and Peter's in a lot of them. And through that, we see that Peter was stuck in a lot of other ways as well. Like Peter was stuck with some serious personality flaws. Serious. Like he has this big mouth, and he just says whatever comes to mind. He speaks before he thinks, and he says all kinds of things that you're like, I know he regretted that later. And not only that, but he also had an anger problem. I mean, he would get angry with very little provocation, just way uncalled for. Like one time, he literally draws out a sword and chops off a dude's ear. And like crazy, so he has an anger problem. So he's stuck with some serious personality flaws. Not only that, he was also stuck in fear. Like he had all kinds of fear we see come up in his life. Like there's this one time, and I realize, by the way, when you hear this story, I know it's weird, okay? But there's this one time where Peter and his friends are in a boat, and Jesus, ready for the weird alert, comes walking out on the water to the boat, like really. And so he's walking out of water, and Peter recognizes that it's Jesus, and he says, Jesus, could I come out and like walk to you on the water? And Jesus is like, get to stepping, baby. I'm paraphrasing. And so Peter gets out of the boat, and he puts his foot down, and he's like on water. He's walking on water. It's really happening. And he's just staring at Jesus, like staring into his eyes. Each step, walking almost like a new baby looking at his parent. You know, and he's staring. And then all of a sudden, like a wave splashes up, and the wind. And he starts looking around, and he realizes, I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. And the waves and the wind. And he starts to sink, and he starts screaming for help. I'm drowning. And it was because of fear. In the moment, he was just stuck in fear. There's another time, a little later, where Jesus is arrested. He's arrested for claiming to be the Son of God, Savior of the world. And so he's arrested. He's put in a little prison cell. He's getting ready for trial. And this is the moment where Jesus needs friends, right? I mean, Jesus is in a bad spot. He needs someone to just say something, to be there for him, to encourage him, to stand up for him. And Peter, who's been his friend now for like 3 years, is standing outside the prison area. And somebody comes up to Peter and they're like, hey, you're one of Jesus' friends, aren't you? And Peter looks him right in the eyes and he says, no, no. And then another person, three people end up coming up to Peter and saying, don't you know, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? And three times he denies even knowing Jesus. And the reason is fear. He was absolutely stuck in fear. Well, the next morning, Jesus has the trial, and he's found guilty of claiming to be God and the Savior of the world. And so they crucify him, and he's dead. And they put him into a grave. And so now Jesus is stuck. He's stuck dead in a grave. And all of a sudden, Peter finds himself stuck in a brand new way, because now he's stuck spiritually. He had never been a spiritual giant, okay? But he was growing. I mean, he had just spent 3 years with Jesus. Like, he's with him almost all the time. And so he was growing in his understanding of God. He was growing a little in his character. He was growing in hope, you know, in hope that he might be something special. But now, Jesus is dead in a grave. And it's like Peter's hope dies. And his faith dies right along with Jesus. And now he's stuck spiritually. But then something really dramatic happened. Because 3 days later, Jesus walked out of the grave alive. And this really happened, by the way. Okay, not myth, not fairy tale. It's like a historical event. There's evidence, a provable fact. Jesus walked out of the grave. And in that moment, Peter found out something. He discovered that Jesus had power greater than death. That Jesus had power greater than stuckness. That Jesus had a supernatural power. And then something else happens because Jesus comes to Peter and they have this first interaction after the resurrection, okay? And remember, the last kind of interaction they had was Peter denying that he knew Jesus. He's betraying Jesus. He's denying Jesus. And so this is not the interaction, the time together that Peter was hoping for. This is the one that you're like, oh no, what is coming, right? But what Jesus does in that moment is he applies to Peter a force even greater than the power that raised Jesus from the dead. He applies to him the greatest force in the universe, the unconditional love of God. And Jesus lets Peter know that his sins are forgiven, that there's nothing he's done that can't be forgiven by God. And he lets Peter know that he still has a place in his heart for him and a place in his church, a place of leadership for him. And Peter, understanding that Jesus has this supernatural resurrection power greater than death, a power that turns death into life, and being the recipient of the sheer unadulterated force of God's unconditional love, Peter gets unstuck. He does. We get a lot more of Peter's story as the Bible continues. And we see Peter's life. And man, he goes from like same old fisherman to living this amazing adventure. He goes from having this personality that's bombastic and fickle to being like solid as a rock. He goes from someone who's stuck in fear to someone who stands up to incredible intimidation, even the threat of death. He goes from someone who's stuck spiritually to someone who grows, and I mean, he writes part of the Bible. He just becomes this incredible man of God, leader in God's kingdom. Peter gets unstuck. How? Well, it wasn't through his power, right? I think that's what Peter learned. What he learned was, man, all those different ways I was stuck, I tried to change. I wanted to change. And I could once in a while have a little bit of improvement here or there, but I always just ended up in the same place, stuck. But, when finally I realized that what I could not do in my power, God could do for me in his power, that's when I got unstuck. It was when finally I accepted the resurrection power of God that raised Jesus from death to life. And when finally I accepted God's unconditional love and the force of that power, that my life was changed and I became unstuck. And so you say, that's nice, but who cares? Right? Who cares? Well, here's why. Here's why it matters. Because it's really good news for you and me. Because the same power that changed Peter's life and took him from stuck to unstuck is available to you and I as well. And that's really good news. Really good news, right? Because here's the deal with us. We've tried to get unstuck, right? You've tried, haven't you? You haven't just accepted it. What we do is we've tried. We try everything we can think of to get unstuck. We do everything in our power to get unstuck. And sometimes we see a little bit of improvement and then we always end up stuck again. Or maybe we get unstuck in some area of life and we discover I've just kind of changed my addictions. I'm stuck in a new area. You know, and it's like I go through life stuck and I can't get myself unstuck. That's the thing I've learned about myself is I can't get myself unstuck. But there is someone who can. And when you get to that moment where you're thinking, you know what, I can't do it. I can't. And you just feel like quitting because like I've tried and tried, and so maybe I just need to accept who I am and what's going on in these circumstances because I can't change. When you get to that moment where you just feel like quitting, that is a critical moment in your life. Like that's like you know, the fork in the road moment in your life. Because at that moment, you have a choice. You can quit. You know, you can just give up. Or you can look up and you can say the word, help. help because you recognize that there's a power that you don't possess. Just like Peter, who recognized what I needed the whole time was a power I didn't possess. I can picture Peter later in his life looking back on that moment when he was walking on water and realizing, man, as long as I looked in Jesus' eyes, I could walk on water. I could do the impossible. But as soon as I made it about me and I stopped looking at Jesus and I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at my circumstances, that's when I went down. Jesus was the key the whole time. I couldn't do it, but Jesus could. And the same is true in my life. What I could not do, what was impossible for me to get myself unstuck, Jesus could. What I needed the whole time was a power that I didn't possess. And what you and I need is a power we don't possess. And so the whole key is just saying the word help. Now here's the funny thing about us though. We can be totally desperate and our lives can be a disaster and still refuse to say the word help, can't we? Right? And I don't know why it's true for you. It may be that you were taught from like when you were little to be an independent, autonomous, strong, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps individual. And you were taught not to say help. And so you've gone through life not saying it and you're not going to now either. Or it may be for you that you have said help. And you were dropped. And right now you're sitting in your seat with a broken heart saying, I can't believe this. Please don't ask me to say help again because I did. And I didn't get help. I got dropped. My friend dropped me. My spouse dropped me. I can't do it again. Let me tell you this about God. There is a God who loves you with an unconditional love and who has power and who will not drop you. And it was just waiting for you to say the word, help. Because what you need is a power you don't possess. And that same power that Peter experienced and that got him unstuck is available to you as well. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, that is no problem because we're going to put the verses up on the screen and so you can just check them out up there. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, if you're like, man, I don't think I got one anymore, maybe I used to, we give them out for free. So on the way out today, stop by the Welcome Center and just say, give me a Bible, and they will give you a Bible. You can say, please. You can just say, I demand a Bible. They will give you a Bible. So stop by, grab a Bible. So we're going to look at a few passages in this book called Ephesians. And Ephesians is a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to the church in a town called Ephesus. The people who lived in Ephesus were called Ephesians, hence the name of this book of the Bible. And so Peter was the guy who actually started this church some years back. And so he's kind of writing to old friends, and he's kind of sharing his heart with them. And so let's see what he says. And I think what you're going to see is that the same power, supernatural resurrection power that changed Peter's life, the same power of God's unconditional love that transformed Peter is available to you and I as well. So verse 17, he says, chapter 1, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And so he says, listen, I've been praying for you guys. And what I'm praying is that you'll know God more and more, better and better, because there's nothing better in this life than knowing God. And so that's what I'm praying for you. Verse 18, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And so he's saying, I'm also praying that you'll have hope. I don't want you to feel stuck. I want you to know that you can get unstuck, and I want you to live life with hope. All right, we'll move on to verse 19. He says, I want you to know the hope he has, and then he says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Did you catch that? Because this is big. Like, this is your life here. Ready? What he's saying is, listen, the same power that raised Jesus from death to life, the same power that brought life out of death is available to you. And so if you feel stuck, you don't have to stay stuck, right? If you feel dead, if there's some area of your life and you're like, it's dead, man, my marriage is dead. My friendship, dead. My finance, dead. My job, dead. It does not have to stay dead. Because if God can bring death to life in Jesus, if God can get Jesus unstuck from death in a grave, he can certainly get you unstuck from any situation you're facing. That is good news. And so he says this, and so here's the cool part, because we go from the resurrection power that we need, and we go into the unconditional love that Jesus gave Peter and that transformed his life and got him unstuck. That's available to us as well. Look at chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm just going to warn you up front. This is depressing stuff. These next few verses, you're not going to like them. I don't like them. Ready? And so it says this: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we are by nature objects of wrath. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, listen, here's the deal. You didn't just feel stuck, you were stuck. You didn't just feel dead, honestly, you were dead. You were dead because you chose to separate yourself from God, who is the source of life. And so when you walked away from God and you chose to take a different path, you separated yourself from the source of life. And so you were dead. And so these verses describe our condition, and they're not good, okay? But we're going to look at the next verses, and I will warn you in advance, these are very encouraging. So good news is coming. And I want you to notice that these verses start with the word but, okay? So we'll start in verse 4. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Stop there. So he says, but. But is a critical word when you're reading, right? Like, but is kind of this beacon, this symbol. Something just changed. You know, whatever you're reading, things have changed since then. You know, or if you're saying something to somebody, if you say, oh no, honey, you look great, but, it's like, uh-oh, what's coming, right? Or if you say, I wasn't going to eat the whole cheesecake, but, he's like, oh, you ate the whole cheesecake, right? And so, but is kind of a big word. And I happen to think that but is one of the greatest words in the Bible, because there are a bunch of passages like this that describe our condition, and it lets us know we got ourselves in really bad shape. Like, through the path that we had taken, we got ourselves in a really bad situation. But then comes this magical word, but. And then it tells us what God did for us. Listen, I don't know if you've ever been thankful for God's but. But you should. In fact, I'll tell you that the truth is that it's only when God puts his butt into our situation that our lives can truly and dramatically be changed. In fact, have you guys ever noticed, like, there's Christian t-shirts? Like, maybe you've seen somebody wearing one that says, like, saved by Jesus, or has a cross on it or something like that. I've actually been thinking of a t-shirt line that, you know, instead of telling you, I'll show you, because I've got a couple of preliminary designs. And so, like, what if there were some Christian t-shirts, I think these would be big sellers, that said things like this, like, saved by God's butt. Not bad. You'd buy that, right? Or what about this? I once was lost until my encounter with God's butt. Maybe. Or what about this? Get off your butt and embrace God's butt. That belongs, like, on a mug. Or what about this one? God so loved the world, he gave us his butt. Or what is by far my favorite is this: God's amazing butt, how sweet the sound. Yes, we went there. All right. But seriously, God's butt changes everything. There's our condition, and then the magic word, but. And we find out what God did because of our condition, and it changes everything. So let's read this whole passage. We'll start back with the magic but. So starting in verse 4 again. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amazing. What this is saying is that there's nothing you've ever done that's put you beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. That God loves you with an unconditional love that will change your life. These verses says we're saved by grace. Did you notice that? The word grace means to get the opposite of what you deserve. Like Peter, what did he do? Well, he denied and betrayed Jesus. What did he deserve from Jesus? He deserved rejection and punishment. What did he get? He got forgiveness and restoration. Right? What have we done to Jesus? Honestly, through our actions, what we've done is we've denied and betrayed Jesus, no matter who we are. Right? And what does God offer to us? Not the rejection and punishment we deserve, but the forgiveness and restoration we need. It's life-changing, man. And it says, did you notice it says, it's not because of what you've done. Right? It's like, it's nothing you've done. It's nothing you could do. You don't have the power to change your life. What you need is a power you don't possess. And God's resurrection power and the sheer force of God's unconditional love is what can get you unstuck. Right? It's not just his power, but it's also his love. In fact, let's kind of end our little time in Ephesians by looking at a prayer that Paul prays for his friends there. And you'll see that he's praying that they would understand and receive God's unconditional love. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He's like, I am getting down to pray for you. And he says, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Saints just means believers, Christians. Don't let that throw you. Together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so what he's saying there is, he's like, listen, I know you feel stuck, but you can forget about stuck. If you give your life to God and you receive his power, if you just say, help, and he gives you his supernatural resurrection power and the sheer force, the unadulterated force of his unconditional love, man, you will get more than unstuck. You will experience more than you could even think to ask for from God or possibly imagine. That's what I want you to experience, Paul says. That's what I'm praying for. So, are you stuck? Yeah, we all are, right? And you've tried. I've tried. We've tried everything we can think of, and we always end up back to stuck. And when you're ready to quit, it is the most important moment in your life. Because in that moment, you can quit and give up. Or you can look to God, you can look up, and you can say the word, help. And you can recognize the fact that what you need is a power you don't possess, but that God has and is willing to give to you, and that will change your life. Isn't it interesting that the 12-step programs, which have been amazingly effective in getting millions, I think, of people unstuck, start with step one. We admitted that we were powerless over our sin, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. What are those steps? I don't have the power. I am stuck and I don't have the power, but God does. And so I just need to say, help. What you need to do is say, help, because what you need is a power you don't possess. Now, practically speaking, I think that what saying help looks like, it's believing in God and plugging into his power. It's believing in God and plugging into his power. And so it's believing in God. Did you notice in Ephesians, it said a bunch of times about his power for us who believe. And the amazing power he has for those of us who believe. And so we need to believe. Now, here's some encouraging news, because I know that some of you are like, See, this is where I get bogged down because, man, I don't really believe. I mean, where I am right now, I kind of believe maybe a little, but I think I have more doubt than I have faith. So I believe a little bit, but not much. But what I want to tell you is that that is a really good place to start, because what's important, what matters, is not the amount of faith you have, but the object of your faith. It's not the amount of faith, it's the object of your faith, right? And that's always true in life. That's true in anything, right? Like I grew up in the thriving metropolis of Hammondsport, New York. You heard of it? No, you didn't. You have not. And in Hammondsport, New York, our town's right on a lake. And in the winter, the lake freezes. So let's say that you and I went to Cuca Lake in like late November, early December, and we stood at the edge of Cuca Lake, and one of us said, "Dude, that thing is frozen solid. Let's go out on it. Like, let's go run around the lake. It'll be great." And the other one was like, "I don't know. I can tell it's frozen, but it didn't look that frozen. I don't know. I don't think it's going to hold us." But let's say that both of us decide to venture out on the lake. We are both going to stand strong on that ice, or we are both going to fall through and get wet and cold, not based on the amount of our faith, but based on the object of our faith, the thickness of the ice, right? The one with more faith isn't going to stand on the ice. The other one's like, "Oh, I wish I believed more," right? It doesn't matter how much you believe. What matters is what you believe in. Right? It's the thickness of the ice. And so you might say, "Vince, right now, I got this much faith. That's what got me here tonight, but this much faith and like this much doubt." Well, that's a really good place to start. Because it's not so much about the amount of your faith. It's the object of your faith that really matters. And if you're saying right now, if you're like, "Honestly, I don't have any. I don't have any faith. I don't know why I'm here. I don't have any faith." Well, I guess I would encourage you to keep coming back. Because you might be surprised. You might actually find faith in this place. So we need to believe in God, and we need to plug into his power. That's what it looks like to say help. With the idea of plugging into his power, you know, you have electric outlets all over your house, right? And right now, some of them are giving power, and some of them are not. And the difference isn't the electric outlet. They all have power inside of them. The difference is whether or not something's plugged into the outlet, right? And it's the same with God. He's got this power. He's had it all along. He has the power to get you unstuck. He has the resurrection power. He has the unconditional love power. He has it. The only question is, are you plugging into it? Right? You can even believe but not plug into his power and still stay stuck. And so what we're going to talk about the next 3 weeks is, how do I plug into God's power in a way that gets me unstuck? And I realize that some of you are probably thinking, I was just planning on coming once. Somebody invited me tonight. I got an invite card, and I was just going to come once and check it out. I'm not coming back. And I understand that, and you certainly don't have to. But I would tell you this. If you've ever been stuck, if you're stuck, or if you think you'll ever be stuck, and you will, I'd come back the next 3 weeks and learn these principles that are incredibly effective for learning how to get unstuck. How do we plug into God's power in a way that gets us unstuck? So come back 3 weeks and then stop coming if you want. So here's the deal. If you have any questions about this, if you're like, "Man, I want to talk to somebody about this," if you're thinking, I honestly need somebody to pray for me because I am stuck and you brought up some bad stuff in my life, and if somebody could pray for me, that would be great, or anything. If you just want to learn how to get plugged in and to hear at Verve, we have this thing called the Velcro bar in the back, and so afterwards there will be some people back there who would love to talk to you. But before that, what we want to do is give you a few minutes, just like with you and God. One of the things that we're really passionate about here is that when you come here, it wouldn't just be a good show. That you would come here and feel like, "Man, I had an encounter with God. Like, I had some time where I just got to talk to God." If you're someone who talks to God, I got to listen to God, and it was the weirdest thing because, man, I didn't hear a voice, but I felt like I knew what I needed to do. Like, I was just sitting there, and I was like, I know the step I need to take. And so we're going to give you a couple minutes to do just that, just to kind of sit quietly and wherever you're at. You might be somebody who believes in God and is like, "Yeah, I want to talk to him about this." You might not be, and you're just somebody who's going to be like, "You know what, I'll just kind of think about all this. I'll wrestle with it and figure out how it applies to my life and what step I need to take next, if any." And so we're going to do that. And during this time, we also offer you communion. And so there are trays where the candles are of bread and juice, and they represent the body and blood of Christ given on the cross for us, which is a really mysterious, really weird, and really cool thing. Because, you know, I said that Jesus offered Peter and he offers me and he offers you not the rejection and punishment we deserve, but the forgiveness and restoration we need. Well, in God's economy, what that took was Jesus going to a cross for us. And in some ways, that's hard to understand. But in other ways, it's like, well, maybe I get it because, you know, the bread represents Jesus' broken body and I feel broken. And the juice represents his spilled blood and, man, I kind of feel like I'm bleeding. And God took that the mess of the cross and he made something beautiful out of it. And that's what I want in my life. And God took Jesus' death and he brought life. 3 days later, there was life. And that's what I need too. I need life. And so there's communion at each of those stations. And so we're going to have the band come up now and they're going to do one last song. And you can listen to this song. You can pray. You can listen to God. You can just sit there. Or if you want to, you can go and you can get communion, bring it back to your seat. And when you've prayed and you're ready, you can eat and drink. And so I'm going to pray. Band's going to do a song. We'll give you 3 or 4 minutes. And then after that, I'll come up and close this out. A couple announcements for you. So let's pray. God, I guess I can't speak for everybody in this room, but I can say that I have spent most of my life feeling stuck. And I'll share more about that in the next few weeks, but stuck in all different areas. And the thing that I've learned, the thing I've experienced, is that I don't have the power to get myself unstuck. But when, like Peter, I finally recognized that, and I turned to you and said the word help, and I believed in you, and I plugged into your power, it's the only thing in my life that's worked. God, my prayer for the people in this room is that they would experience the same in their life, that they would go through this discovery, this epiphany, this journey where they realize, I don't have what it takes to get unstuck, but God does. What I need is a power I don't possess. And so I'm gonna ask for help, and I'm going to figure out what it takes for me to believe in God and plug into his power. God, thank you so much for your grace that we don't get what we deserve from you, but that you offer us the opposite. You offer us love, forgiveness, restoration, and that you can get us unstuck. Thank you so much. And God, thanks for Jesus, and thanks for communion, just as a tangible reminder, a way to hold in our hands the fact that Jesus gave up his life, that we are loved so much that someone was willing to die for us. Man, thanks. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.